the principal's office podcast. I like to say that because it makes it sound a little bit more like it's a bigger deal.
A little official.
Yeah. And if you have listened on a previous, like, four that I've done, the sound has been awful. But I think that Mr. Blackwood helped me just figure out the microphone.
It's like Batman and Robin.
Yeah, really is. It's special. All right. Introduce yourself, your background. I already said Mr. Blackwood, which is always silly. But tell us yourself, your background, and time in our district.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of an interesting question because I started as a parent. All my kids went here, and then I became a para for a couple years while I was working on my degree, and I worked here as a student teacher for a little while, and then I got poached by Federal Way, and I was working in Federal Way for 5 years, and I'm back last year and then this year.
That was for the dark years when you were at Federal Way, right?
Yeah, it was the dark years, but kind of with special education, you go where you're needed most, and they had a lot of needs, so.
I suppose.
I felt like I did a lot of good there, so I was sad to leave, but I was happy for the opportunity here.
I think that you are leaving out an important detail of your time as a para.
Oh, when I worked with you?
Yeah. See, that was great. Like, when I saw your name come through, I'm like, this is fantastic. It was meant to, like, in a dream come true for you. You get to come back to Fife. You get to work with your favorite administrator of all time.
Yeah, and, you know, what was funny is that when I first got hired, it was you that called me on the phone to, you know, do the touchback. And then I didn't get hired the first time as a para.
Oh, really?
I got put on the sub list because someone else got put in the position. But yeah, you called me and said, you know, I really like you for this job, but we'll keep, you know, an eye out. And then, like, here we are, like, 10 years later. It's crazy.
How funny. Yeah, that is. Gosh, I can't believe that's 10 years ago. All right, so what do you wish you had known about education when you started out?
Oh, man. There's so much. You don't know. It's like a lot of things that you want to do. You don't know all the questions that you have until you're actually in it, and I'm still learning new stuff every day. As far as education, it was how much time outside of the classroom is actually required for you to keep your license and then also feel confident in the subject area that you're teaching. And I wish that I had known so I could prepare my family more. Because Mr. Bettis, I'm sure, knows that it doesn't just end when the bell rings. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of prep before the day starts, and a lot of follow-up after the day ends for students that it's just impossible to really impart to anyone who hasn't done it before how much time it takes and how much effort and how much thought is put into everything that we do.
Yeah. You know what? That is that's spot on. And as somebody that, like, as a principal who has four kids, and then I'm married to a teacher, right? And I understand those kind of things. So, like, my job, I always try to make sure that there's a way to make sure that teachers do that. But at the end of the day, if, like, you do this job for your passion, not necessarily for, like, the big bad paycheck you get, so you feel an obligation to do what you need to do. So even it's not even just like the stuff you have to do your job well, but it's also your brain doesn't stop thinking about it. You know, myself, I lay at night and think, okay, how can I do this better? You know?
Yeah. Or, you know, you're walking through the grocery store and thinking, oh, that would go great in my classroom, or you know, scrolling through any sort of online retailer, and you're like, oh, I would absolutely love to have this in my classroom, and then it's like, it's not feasible.
Man, all right, that's a solid question. We're already like 4 minutes in here, so this might be a 20-minute conversation. So tell me about a lesson that failed spectacularly.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. You don't know until you try. So a lot of our program goes on the principle of bending without breaking. So we want to challenge the students after they've gained enough confidence in the subject area to push forward beyond what they think their limits are. And a lot of times when we're doing, I'll give you an example, like when we're doing life skills as far as cooking. I had a student who is very comfortable telling us how to do things, but when a task like washing the dishes, we go through it over and over again, and it's just seeing the differences between what my expectations are and what their expectations are at home, and then trying to meet a middle ground that's equitable for both of us, to where they feel like they're still contributing, but, you know, not depleting my entire year's worth of stock of soap in one go. So it's, I think that that failed in, on that time with that student, but I think that we both kind of got good information from it so that it enables us to talk about it later. And I think in that sense, if you give a lesson that doesn't exactly go the way that you want to, as long as you keep trying to find a way to communicate and neither of you give up, you keep that partnership, and then there's never any failed lessons.
Oh my gosh, Mark.
I didn't even write this stuff down.
Oh, this is brilliant. All right. what is one thing the students would be surprised to find out about you?
Oh my goodness. So, my wife and I, we got into medieval recreationism with an organization called the SCA, which is kind of like the Ren Faire, but more historically based. So if you thought the Ren Faire was embarrassing, just, you know, delve into some history books and actually recreate these different ways that people dressed, the way that they spoke, the dances they did, that's the SCA. It's like super, super heavy duty into history, and then you create it in the way that you dress, the way that you talk, your mannerisms, dancing, martial arts with swords, with axes, with shields, with bows, arrows, all that good stuff. And it's very family centric, and it's a worldwide organization, so we have different chapters throughout the world.
That's so cool. Yeah. I remember you sending me the pictures, and I think because my unhealthy, not to suggest this is unhealthy, my unhealthy obsession is the Chicago Bears, and it's just like, I can't stop, like I can't, and it's just, that brings me such joy, and it's just like, I don't know, I love seeing stuff like that. I love seeing the other thing that makes you, you.
Yeah, it's mostly my wife's obsession with it, and then I just built stuff. So like, I built a sedan chair, so that's something that you can look up. Look up a sedan chair, and that's what I built over the summer, and then one of my beefier friends and I carried my wife in so that she could get an award for teaching the arts to other people in her kingdom. So,
that's so cool. Yeah. All right. What inspires you to come to work every day?
Oh, my goodness. I love the people that I work with. I absolutely enjoy the puzzle of how complex people are. Not just the students, but my coworkers. And just being able to figure out that puzzle on how we can communicate and the kind of mechanics between like what we do and what we say and what we can do and what we can say, like as far as communication and relaying that into like different sort of life skills and all the different elements that comprise our classroom. You know, it's like there's so much. It's just difficult to boil down into a short answer, and I'm sorry for that, but I get really excited about the lessons that I make and seeing the reactions that the kids make, and then watching that moment where something clicks and then they start understanding the reason that they're doing that and then how to do it.
It kind of ties back into your previous answer of what failed spectacularly. It's a puzzle. Even when it doesn't work, it's something always trying to figure out, how do you make it better?
Yeah.
How do you make it better?
It's a puzzle, and then like sometimes you want to throw that puzzle down and go somewhere else, but yeah, that's why you have weekends.
Okay. When was the last time you learned something brand new?
Oh, today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today I learned that two of our friends, we were doing, we had iReady testing. So what we do is we do Wall Aim prep. So we, the students in my classroom do Wall Aim as a testing measure. So what we're doing this year that's a little bit different is we're doing Wall Aim prep to kind of get them used to that testing routine so we don't, so we keep fidelity while we're actually testing. So we're teaching them how to do test type behaviors and concentrate like super, super hard and do their best without giving, you know, kind of teaching them to the test. We're teaching them the test behaviors without revealing the test. So I learned that a couple of our students have difficulty slowing down when they're doing a digital routine. So I have to do a routine that has three-dimensional objects and manipulatives or things that they can move around and see and touch rather than having it completely on the computer, which makes it a lot easier for me on the computer, which is why I tried that first. But this is good data because it lets me know that I can help them be more successful if I try it a couple of different ways. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I learned that today.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You probably, if we come up with something tomorrow, you probably come up with something tomorrow.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, you kind of got to learn something every day. All right. Next question. What is your best tip? Wait, am I reading the right? Yeah, that's the right one. Cough. What is your best tip for making SLMS the best school in the history of ever?
It would be two-part. Like, as a student, my best tip is do not be afraid of new situations and new people. Just be respectful to everybody that you meet and just, you know, absorb as much as you can, because there's a lot of really, really friendly students here and from all different kinds of cultures, bunch of different languages. Try a bunch of clubs, try something new. As a teacher, don't stay in your room. You know, use those Late Start Mondays that we have to develop our different routines and sets to reach out and collaborate with other teachers and find other ways that they approach teaching, that their views are, so that it can help enrich your practice in your classroom. And then maybe, you know, start a club, you know, get out there and see more students than the ones that are in your classroom. You're going to be surprised how many other people there are out there with your same, you know, goals and same ideas.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd say on both those, I think about kids who like our peer mentoring class, just the joy that kids got, that sometimes they don't understand the students that are in your class, but they learn how great they are. That's my happy place. When I have a few minutes, right, I'll have to swing in, say hi to some of the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. That's another thing. And as far as, like, say, the teachers, I got a story. There was Shannon McKinnon, which I'm sure she's okay with me saying her name on the, you know, for the 10 avid listeners here. She might be one of them, actually. Yeah. But anyway, as a shop teacher, I often thought, well, nobody else teaches what I teach. I was a singleton in that. And I remember Shannon McKinnon asked a question at a staff meeting that totally changed how I taught students in my construction class. It was such a valuable thing that, like, I would have never thought of. Because, again, sometimes that outside perspective of somebody that doesn't see your shoe, it gives you fresh ideas.
Yeah.
So, good advice for teachers. All right, if you could turn back. Here, last question. Ready? If you could turn back time and tell your middle school self something, what would it be? What would it be? Little Marky Blackwood.
Okay. Don't worry so much about what other people think. Because in 10 years, it's not going to matter. It absolutely will not matter. If you're passionate about something, go for it. Sweet. Don't let anything stop you.
Well, that's easy. All right, man.